panel. We're discussing two basic ideas, the basics of unity, what that may be, and then we'll discuss the cause of diversity. So the first panelist will take up the basics of unity.
Good morning. We did want to say, just kind of reiterate that the umbrella title for, is there a background? Is my, am I echoing? No? Okay. The main overall title.
Excuse me, you do sound very, very distant.
Distant? Okay, let me turn.
Like you're away from the microphone.
Is there a second iPhone or
no
iPad in your presence? No, there's no. Something going on.
All right, let me turn off my phone. I'm sorry about the delay. All right, I turned myself off, my cell phone off, and I increased my volume. Is this better now?
Okay. Yes, it is.
Okay, good. So, little deja vu, the mystery of unity and diversity is the overall title for this month. And it's an important idea of unity. And it's interesting when we look at the titles that it will be very comprehensive in regards to this study this month on unity. So, we looked in the dictionary just to kind of get an idea of what unity, the meaning of unity is. And it's pretty much what we all think. Unity is being together or at one with someone or something. And of course, it's the opposite of being divided. It's a word that we use for togetherness or oneness. In regards to the philosophy of theosophy, in the declaration, there is a mention of universal brotherhood. And we can actually look at the idea of universal brotherhood with the meaning of unity, because we have to be unified in order to have universal brotherhood. And Mr. Judge actually says that universal brotherhood is the only doctrine that we'll find in theosophy. So for this talk, we're actually looking at the idea of when we're thinking of the basics, we're looking at how to cause unity to happen. What are the stepping stones in regards to this to unified success of developing unity? But the interesting idea is that when we think of the idea of deity, the deific essence, we are unified. It's just a matter of feeling it, of knowing that we are, because we are all rays of that deific essence, and that is what unifies us together. So we are unified, but if we don't realize that we are spiritual beings, then we're not going to feel that unity. We're not going to express that unity. We're not going to act on that unity. So, and the thing is with unity, it's not just people coming together. Unity can be expressed in many ways. It can actually be expressed in in cosmic ideas. Because if we look at, say, our solar system, we have all our planets and we have the sun. And we are all unified together by the gravity pull of the sun. And if we didn't have that, and we can look at the sun as being light, as being a, it's almost like a spiritual idea, and it pulls all the planets in their own path around it. So we are unified cosmically as well. And physically, we are unified. It's, we have, our bodies have these lives, these infinitesimal lives that make up all of our organs. And if we don't impress them, there's actually, when we look at our bodies, we're actually looking at two different ways of unity. We are looking at the unity of all our organs working in concert with each other. If our heart stopped beating, the blood would not go to our brains, it wouldn't go to all our organs. So it's important when we look at unity in regards to our form, that we have all these organs working, and we know if, like, if the kidneys don't work, what will happen? If the heart doesn't work, what will happen? The liver. So we know that in that respect, the body has to be unified physically. And then there's the small, as we said, the small infinitesimal lives that make up this body. And we impress those lives with our feelings, whether they be negative or positive. But the whole idea is that these lives are going back, are going out of our bodies, and we're getting new ones. So if this doesn't work, if we don't impress our lives, these small infinitesimal lives, with positive compassion, with love, that when it goes out, when they go out into their constituent parts, when this form dies, then the unity is gone. So it's important for us to realize that we are impressing everything on our bodies, and it's important because of unity. Because if we send out positiveness, it is felt by all around us. And we know that with our thinking, that thoughts are important because they have strength and they can be felt. So we need to be positive and compassionate with our thinking. And Mr. Judge says, we are all atoms obeying the law together. And this is in his article, Universal Brotherhood. So we know that it's important for us to think positively and to act on those positive thoughts. And the unity of all in all is the main idea of this incarnation. And at some point in time, we will be unifying the higher triad of Atma, Buddhi, Manas. We will hopefully be raising up that lower mind to the positive. And the whole idea of this unification is that when we look at our evolution, is to go back to that main source of deity. And to look at the idea of karma, one would not really think of karma as being part of the idea of unity. But we have to remember that we are always working together. And by working together, I mean, when we are reincarnated, we are reincarnated with others. And we are reincarnated with people that we have, that maybe we have other issues that we have to finish. So to work with each other, and when we know with karma, if we are acting in a positive, compassionate, kind manner. Hello? So it's important that we understand about karma. how it fits in with this idea of unity, and then the idea of evolution, because as long as we are working together and always remember others and not always to think of self. So that in and of itself is unity, to work together, to think about others, to help others. So that's unity. And that's also karmic. So it will affect our evolution. For you have no karma of your own, but the karma of each one is the karma of all. That statement is a perfect representation of what unity is. And if we're looking at the mundane aspect, it's like, why is it important to know this? One of the things, and it goes along with karma, is that our opinions can differ. Of course they differ. Not that they can, they do. Our opinions differ from each other, but that doesn't mean that we still can't be unified. It doesn't matter if, you know, whether it's politically, religiously, whatever, we can still be unified and honor what other people are thinking. We don't have to say that we are right in everything. And the whole world is unified commercially, scientifically. We know that when there are catastrophes that occur, a lot of other countries move in and try and help. But the interesting thing is that we have noticed, and it's happened in our lives, and we're sure it's happened with most people, is that when something does happen, whether it's a personal issue, and a lot of people rush in and they want to help, if it's a fire, if it's, you know, a family member who has passed or is very sick, a lot of people come in and want to help and be there for you. But when that event is over, it's like everybody kind of goes their own way. So for a short time, they were unified. They were helping, they were compassionate, and we have never really been able to kind of figure why does that happen, that once that issue is over with, people separate. But and another idea with this, the mundane aspect of unity, is that of duty. We know in the Bhagavad Gita, I mean, there's a huge idea in the Gita regarding doing one's duty. But the idea is to do your duty without expecting anything in return. So that idea is compassion. And we don't want expectations when we're doing what we have to do. And by doing what we have to do, by doing what comes to us, that is under karma, that is under law. So by doing that and doing what comes to us without any expectations, that is unity. That is what we are expected to do. So that's a unity as well. So we do want to read a short piece from Mr. Judge's How Should We Treat Others? And this is on the idea of charity, which is can be looked at as unity. Charity, constant forgiveness, wipes out the opposition from others, expends the old enmity, and at the same time, makes no similar causes. Any other sort of thought or conduct is sure to increase the sum of hate in the world, to make cause for sorrow, to continually keep up the crime and misery of the world. So the importance of compassion in regards to unity cannot be overstated. And the idea of compassion unity comes first. We all join together, and by unifying, compassion develops. And we know that compassion is one of the major powers of the soul. One thing we did forget when we were talking about the cosmos in regards to unity is that humans affect the earth. And we have to look with compassion again at the earth, what it needs, how we affect it. So the whole idea of unity, when it is in response to the earth, we need to look at how we can unify the earth because we control it. There's that idea of, what is that? We just went blank. Never mind, it's gone. So I hate it when I do that. We think that might be it. We were hoping we covered everything. So this idea of unity, this was the basics of unity, and our next talk will be the cause of diversity.
Yes. Without unity, there can be no diversity. It's rather ironic. We hear in the Secret Doctrine, we read portions of it where it says that we are spiritual beings, we are beings of light, and that we descended upon this plane of matter to lift up all of matter to a higher state of consciousness. But also the fact that being spiritual beings, there is no contrast. And the only place that where any real progress can be made is that on the plane of duality. So here we are. We're now in this world of diversity, trying to find our unity. Or when we were in unity, we were trying to become part of the diversity. We have to think, well, what is it that we are doing? You know, where are we? And what are we? And why are we? We are told that we are eternal, boundless, immutable, and omnipresent beings. That we have come from that which is eternal, boundless, immutable, and omnipresent. So we are that. So if we are that, what is happening? Well, we are told that this absoluteness is really conceived in two different ways. One as absolute abstract space, as being one concept, and the other of being absolute abstract motion. Well, that idea is really the source of consciousness itself. Motion is consciousness. It is the movement. We have this movement of the universe, and we experience it as change, because everything is constantly changing. Nothing is ever the same. The only thing that is constant is the perceiver of the change. So now, how are we to reckon with this great diversity? Well, we are told to use the image of space. But in this space, this absolute comes forth as a great breath. And in the Bible, it says the word. Well, that first vibration that thrilled through the universe, through all corners of the universe. That great breath is the motion, and it manifests the diversity. Now, this constant, absolute, abstract motion appears first within the universe in seven ways. It comes forth on seven different planes of consciousness. And we are told this over and over again. This method of coming forth from unity into diversity is intelligent. It comes forth in an intelligent manner. And we see the use of number over and over again. The sevening of things, the 10, the perfect number, these are all expressions of diversity. It's how the universe works. That eternal abstract motion is constantly moving. We're in that vortex. We are constantly changing. The earth is constantly moving around a sun. The sun is constantly moving around a greater sun. And that greater sun is constantly moving within space. So, how are we to understand this diversity? Well, we understand it through logic and through seeing patterns, seeing the periodic coming and going of life from day and night to the seasons of the year. We see within nature that it is infinite in its potential, that nature brings forth life in a dynamic way. We are told that nature geometrizes. Well, what does that mean? Well, let's look at numbers. Well, how do numbers begin? Where do they begin? They begin from naught, from nothing, from no thing. And what appears from no thing but one? The first logos, the first expression of life, that great breath. Two, it ultimately expands and becomes the spiritual soul of the universe. The third becomes the triad, the triangle. The fourth, or four, becomes the square. The fifth becomes the pentagram. The sixth becomes the symbol of the Star of David, as we understand it, but the star pointing upward and down. And the seventh is the point within that geometric diagram of man. There are symbols all around us that shows of our diversity. But how many of us know that the light of the world shines, it's like shining on this earth is a prism. We see colors We see seven colors, in fact. And these seven colors manifest different powers and potencies within the world in which we live. We are told that color has power. Color has meaning. Color can change our frame of mind, our frame of reference. The color is just another expression of that great breath, that constantly changing vibration that is found within the universe. We try to understand, well, diversity. Well, how can we explain that? But we know we're not great mathematicians, but we can understand certain ideas that the earth plane is a horizontal line. The spiritual is the vertical line. So we have many symbols that show that vertical and horizontal line that are a reminder of our diversity. But we know that when that vertical line intersects the horizontal line, it only intersects on one point. And the line continues above and below infinitely. There is no end, but there is a point on which it manifests. So the scientists say that the atom is not indivisible. And a theosophist says, well, how can that be? You say that the atom is plastic, that it's malleable, but the atom is divisible. Otherwise, it could not change or could not be elastic. The atom is infinite in its divisions, and it's eternal. So that the idea of diversity is only limited to our imagination. We think the diversity sets us apart from each other. But with one looks at the diversity of each man, we see the similarities. Five senses, our way of thinking, our perceptions. We share all this. So within nature is the creative potency of the infinite. And there's an infinite gradation of thought. We see back in history, we know the seven is of importance. We know the three is of importance, the 10. But we hear of the stories of how the earth or how the universe builds on geometry. And we have great minds such as Plato, says that there are only basic solids on which the world or the universe is built. You know, the hexahedron or a cube, the decahedron, the octahedron, the isohedron, and the dodecahedron are simply symbols of the coming together of number, of three, of five, of 12. It's an infinite array or combinations of numbers. That is our diversity. We sit within the bosom of nature, where anything is possible, where nothing is impossible. We only are constrained by our own imagination, and we're only limited by our own expression of thought. Now, we just threw out these ideas, hopefully to instigate some ideas on your part. So what do you think is the diversity and unity? What are the basics of unity? What are the causes of diversity?
SL, unmute.
I think the wonderful message that came through both presentations is that those fundamental principles of deity, law as expressed through karma and reincarnation, evolution, reaching self-consciousness in the human kingdom, those principles are both the basis of unity and the cause of diversity. It's just a matter of how we apply or understand those principles.
Yes, and we wonder too, when we look at evolution, we know that the human has reached the point where we have free will. And that free will can go either way, either towards unity or towards diversity. And it's up to us. And the thing is, it's diversity does not have to be a bad thing. Look at, you know, when we look at even all the Zoom folks that are joining us, what a diversity of, you know, human form. So it does not have to be bad, but we have the choice. And whether, when we're looking at the idea of mind being dual, so it's whether, are we going to choose from lower mind or from higher? But it's our choice to do that. And, you know, it has to be, you know, your choice.
But also the idea that diversity does not mean separateness. Now, in our minds, we want to separate everything. You know, so we see ourselves as separate. But that's the diversity. But the diversity is the unity, because everything comes forth from that unity. We only see it as diverse in its application. We have, as human beings, we have come in contact with every form of manifested being, from the elemental kingdom to the mineral kingdom to the plant kingdom to the animal kingdom. And now in the human form, we have incorporated all of that diversity into this one body. We are the unity, so that we see life is slowly moving toward attaining self-consciousness. That is us. We are at the pinnacle of evolution. We are bringing life forward, or we're degrading it. That is the choice we are making. So our responsibility is, yes, to see the diversity, be a part of the diversity, but be ever, be ever firmly planted in the unity. Know that you are a part of everything that lives, because you are. We are. You know, we think we made an example of, we are spiritual beings. We chose to descend upon this plane. Some grudgingly, but we did. Just to advance. It was our duty to do that. So we are these beings of light. So as we go forth into this world, seek to do gentle service to all that live. So the cause of diversity, we have no control over that, because that absolute comes forth with but a portion of itself. We're here for the ride. We're this eternal pilgrim. J.S.
Well, thinking along those lines that, you know, we're the eternal pilgrim along for a ride. It sounds really passive. When I was thinking about the issue of light and colors and how we're aware of, you know, a white light that moving through a prism then develops a spectrum, and how that spectrum can even become a kaleidoscope of a multitude of colors. But what's the prism? Isn't the prism that active point of mind and spirit in the psychic and the physical? And isn't that point spirit moving through the human state in a creative sense? So is it a passive ride, or is it something else?
Well, we think that once that light has gone through the prism, and we spoke about having a voice, so we don't know. Are you still can't hear?
I believe it's your position, not the microphone.
MDW, we have to mute MDW unless he's speaking. Okay.
Can you hear me now? Is this?
Yes.
Okay. Where were we? Okay. So, and we don't think that it's a passive state. We think that it's an active state, because humans have choice. We don't know if this is what the comment is referring to, but we have choice. And we think that this diversity will depend upon that choice.
We have to remember that we are the prism. Our higher mind is the prism. That Atma Buddhi, that divine thought, is the prism on which this body or this life is founded. And I think somewhere in the Gita it talks about, comes forth with but a portion of themselves, and that we really have no control over this. We are forced into life again and again and again. And only when we take control of that and work with nature can we rise above it. That most of our obstacles that we face in life, we are working against the harmony of nature, against the harmony of our own nature and everyone else.
CBW?
Yes, a good way to bring this clearly to our minds is a visit to the Philadelphia Water System on Belmont Avenue, where you see all the sewers and bathrooms emptying into one huge tank. And then as you leave, they set a clear glass of drinking water in front of you. If we stop and think, it's amazing. But there we gave an illustration of what we're talking about. Visit the reservoir on Belmont Avenue and then visit the cafeteria afterwards. And then begin to think of the words we've heard already this morning. Purity.
So we can see the idea of unity and diversity in not only in this comment, but in everything. As was said, it's like one can be diverse in unity. So it we think it has to do with motive as well, in regards to diversity and unity. SL?
If diversity is not a bad thing, if it's even necessary to understand unity, why in the Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists is it mentioned that we avoid differences of individual opinion?
Why do we, we're sorry, what was the question again?
If diversity is not only necessary, but is not only not bad, but it's necessary to understand the unity of life. Why in the Declaration of the United Lodge of Theosophists, it is said that we avoid differences of individual opinion?
We think it's in there because we want to focus just on the teachings. And one can, I mean, there, we said in our talk that opinions, we have to accept the opinions of others, but we want to make sure that, you know, negative opinions or hurtful opinions, we don't want to, they create diversity in a bad sense.
Well, you know, most of our problems in life are because of our individual opinions. And theosophy tries to set that aside, set our individual opinions and preferences aside, because there's a unity of thought. And lo and behold, it is impersonal. And as soon as it becomes an individual idea or a difference, it creates disunity. And as theosophy, we endeavor to find unity in the diversity. And so we have to rise above the personal and endeavor to create an impersonal approach to life. You know, we only think that we are alive because we personally feel like. No.
Myself, unmute.
So that contribution suggests that in order to understand the unity of diversity requires a change in our perception, the way we approach things. We need to become impersonal in our thought and in our feeling. Otherwise, the overwhelming diversity of life is more likely to make us more separate and more selfish in our feelings.
We want to read if anybody has Mr. Judge's daily readings. Yesterday's fits into this comment rather well. It says, no irritation should be let dwell inside. It is a deadly foe. Sit on all the small occasions that evoke it, and the greater ones will never arise to trouble you. So the whole idea of, we were talking about compassion and motive. So if we let these irritations fester, that can cause some of these ideas that were just brought forth in regards to the declaration of, So we need to kind of clear our minds and be positive so that we're not thinking negative thoughts, and being aware that we're all spiritual beings and that we all will have different opinions. But these different opinions need to be expressed in the proper venue in regards to theosophy, because we are all, as we said, part of that deific essence. We are unified. There can be positive diversity, but in order with the philosophy, we can disagree, but we have to do it in a compassionate, loving manner, and honor the differences as well.
JD?
Yes, JD.
My apologies for interrupting. I haven't figured out how to raise my hand yet with this particular program, but I am concerned about this question of diversity of opinion. It's been my experience by listening to other people having different opinions has improved my ability to learn by challenging my notions of challenging my present understanding. A diverse opinion, even a negative opinion, can challenge that understanding and open the door to a greater understanding. And I think we're shortchanging ourselves by not considering different opinions.
Well, we're not saying to not consider different opinions. It's the idea of honoring what those differences can be. But when we're speaking of the philosophy, those ideas need to be in accord with the philosophy. So we want to hear. I mean, we want to know. It's check, test, and verify, which is basically what you're saying, that we need to listen to everybody and we need to take in what feels right for us.
Agreed.
Thank you. We have a few minutes left. SL?
In the previous two contributions, we learned two different things. One is, if we want to increase our own understanding of a subject, it's good to listen to differences of individual opinion. It's instructive because we have a chance to compare, contrast our own ideas with another, and it helps sharpen our own views. But if we want to understand the ideas of another human being, we have to put our own misconceptions or prejudices or viewpoints out of our mind temporarily. You cannot truly relate to another person's point of view unless you become unprejudiced and impartial. So when we come to the ULT, it's the purpose of the meetings is to understand the message of the teachers and their agents. We want to learn what they have to say. So temporarily, we have to put other misconceptions or even our own personal views out of our mind so that we can understand the message. Then when we go home or we talk with others, if we want to sharpen it by comparing it and contrast it with individual study, that's a beautiful thing. But each has its purpose in its own venue.
Yes, thank you. We have a couple minutes. Yes.
We just want to quote Rodney King. Why can't we all just get along? That's all.
Well, it's all those different personalities out there.
The illusion of separateness, that's all.
And that's the whole thing when it comes to diversity and unity, is that sin of separateness. And if we feel separate, then when we were, you know, we were talking about all these ideas and contributions, that if we feel separate, if we feel better than other, it's going to come out wrong. And we think we have a comment on a chat, and I don't know that we'll have time to answer it. Whoa. We'll just read it. It says, so much in the universe is the power and balance of opposites, the positive and negative polarities in an atom, male and female in biology, and even beyond the physical dimension. And that applies to unity and its opposite, diversity. The balance in the collective group versus the individual. A balance to avoid extremes in any one direction. Even our solar system is a balance between outgoing centrifugal force or power and the inward centripetal force or wisdom. That is how balance between forces is an ongoing truth. Well, that is a wonderful idea to end the meeting. So we thank you, everyone.